Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Now, we start a new series this week, Doctrines That Divide. I'm looking forward to this. There will be a phone number on the slides. If you have questions during this sermon, text them in. I'll try and answer them afterwards, or we can talk over morning tea as well. Come and grab me for questions. I'm looking forward to this series. We've just sung, you know, Here We Stand, which is a good thing in this sort of world of wishy-washy, changing, shifting sands all the time. Not just globally, but even in my own life, it is nice to know that there is a God who has spoken clearly. This series, Lord willing, will help us to know how to stand in love and unity. That's where we're headed for the next 6 weeks. I'm going to pray. Let's go. Oh, Father God, you're a good and gracious God. You haven't made a world and then run away and expect us just to work it all out. You've spoken clearly as a good, good Father. We pray that as your children, we would love to feast on your word. We would love to be a tree that is firmly planted along the river of your word, that we would grow fruitful and loving and peaceful. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen. Well, doctrine divides, love unites, is a slogan you've probably seen on the internet. It's usually aimed at Christians who elevate doctrine over relationship, doctrine over unity, doctrine over love. And in that sense, it's a slogan I empathize with. But straight up, I also want you to know it's a dangerous slogan. It's dangerous because it makes enemies out of what is supposed to be friends. Now, before I go any further, I should just define doctrine before we go any further. Doctrine, simply put, is any beliefs, any teaching, any instruction, any beliefs about around which a group of people gather together. So the Labour Party's doctrine is different to the Liberal Party's doctrine. They're both different to the Green Party doctrine. Doctrine is a good word. Doctrine helps clarify the distinctives of groups. Now, doctrine is also a very important Christian word. Doctrine is important. It's important to know the difference between Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist doctrines. Doctrine is a good word. Doctrine necessarily divides. A doctrine helpfully clarifies. That's a good thing. Now, we can take it one step further. Listen to this straight up from our Saviour's lips. It comes from Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." So not only does doctrine divide, Jesus divides. Now, listen to this also. Straight from the lips of our Saviour, in the high priestly prayer, Jesus is, you know, one of his final prayers. We see his heart here for God and for God's people. John 17, verse 22, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." Jesus divides and Jesus unites. Doctrine divides, love unites, is a silly slogan. It's a dangerous slogan. Jesus expects us to be doctrinally pure. Jesus expects his people to pursue unity. It's not either or. It's both and. So we have a 6-week preaching and point group series titled Doctrines That Divide. This first sermon will give us a framework to help us work out, well, how do you pick and choose which doctrines we should divide over and which doctrines we should hold, because all doctrine's important, but not divide over. That's where we're headed this week. And then there's going to be 5 weeks of different types of doctrines, doctrines that we definitely should divide over. The doctrine of the gospel we need to hold in order to be Christian. The doctrine of the Bible we need to hold in order to be Christian. Then there'll be 2 weeks on some doctrines that Christians disagree over and probably don't go to the same church over, but we still should call each other brother and sister. For instance, we'll look at men and women in ministry, and we'll look at, what was the other one? The Holy Spirit. And then we're going to finish with a doctrine that we can disagree over, and in, at least in our church, we try and hang together over, baptism. That's where we're headed in these 6 weeks of doctrines that divide. Now, today we're looking at something that's called theological triage, and here's how we're going to look at it. We're going to look at those verses from 1 Timothy that Heather just read out for us. So have your Bible open, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and under the heading, The Aim of Our Charge. Then I'm going to remind you, you are a theologian. That's exciting, isn't it? And then we'll finish with this thing called theological triage. So that's where we're headed. The aim of our charge, you are a theologian, theological triage. And so firstly, the aim of our charge. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, have a read. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Well, straight up, you can see where I got the heading from, the aim of our charge. And straight up, we all want to say amen. I'm behind that. The aim of our charge is love, issuing from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere heart, sincere faith. That is good. That is beautiful. That is powerful. Amen. Then jump up to verse 3. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. Now, Paul wrote this letter to his ministry apprentice, Timothy. And Paul charged Timothy, go back to Ephesus and tell and charge these certain people not to teach any different doctrine. Call out anyone who is teaching a different doctrine. Listen, there's always going to be large movements sitting on the fringe of Christianity throwing out slogans like doctrine divides, love unites. In the 19th and 20th century, we called them liberals. In the 21st century, we call them progressives. In the first century, they were just called false teachers. Here's what they want us to believe. The only unorthodox doctrine are the orthodox doctrines. Progressives say things like, all we need is Jesus. All we need is love. They say, if we don't discuss doctrine, we can all get on. No creed but Christ. Doctrine divides, love unites. Here's the irony. All we need is Jesus is a highly divisive doctrine. No creed but Christ is highly exclusive. They're doctrines that exclude 2,000 years of Christianity and overwhelming beliefs and doctrines. And furthermore, more damaging, they're doctrines that exclude Jesus' own teaching in passages like we're looking at today. Paul commanded Timothy, go and charge those false teachers in the church not to teach any different doctrine. Now, here's the problem. Some of you are thinking, go, Steve. Doctrinal purity is the lifeblood of the church. And half of you are thinking, oh, no, Steve. This might just be the last sermon I'm ever going to listen to you on again. Unity is the lifeblood of the church. And here's the problem. Both sides are right. Doctrinal purity is the lifeblood of the church. And unity is the lifeblood of the church. I've already shown you that in the intro of those verses from Luke 14. Hate mum and dad. Hate even yourself. Jesus praying. I pray for unity. We also see it here in 1 Timothy 1. Charge them not to teach any different doctrine. The aim of our charge is love. Over and over, the Bible makes it clear. Truth and love are friends. Truth and love are friends. Yet over and over again, we get sucked into slogans like doctrine divides, love unites. I suspect a big part of the problem is our different personalities. By nature, I'm a bit of a philosopher. I like principles, I like to ask why. Yes, I was that annoying student in class. It means I do like doctrine. By nature, my wife is a bit more practical. Does it work? Yeah? Well, let's just do it. What would be unfair is to say, I don't care about relationships, Nicole doesn't care about truth. We just have different strengths and different personalities. I reckon we work well together. That's another story. Having said that, it is more than different personalities, though. We all have a battle with doctrine because we all have an inner rebel. We looked at the inner rebel in our Romans series earlier in the year. Romans, the Bible, the scriptures often call our inner rebel the flesh. Our flesh raises the ancient question that goes all the way back to the garden. Did God really say? Because we would all like to have the final say. Listen, doctrine is unavoidable. Everybody follows a set of beliefs. And because Christians know there is a good God who established the world, we want to line ourselves up with God's doctrine. We want to learn them and we want to live them. That is why Jesus tells us we must hate our mother and father. Doctrine divides. Doctrinal purity is a must of every Christian and every Christian church. However, and this is just as important, Jesus also tells us that the world will know his disciples by our love of one another. Peace and unity are musts of every Christian and every Christian church. Doctrine divides, love unites, or doctrine divides, Jesus unites. They're dangerous slogans. Beware of the progressive Christian movement. It's not new. It goes all the way back to the first century. Paul charged Timothy, root it out. Jesus demands doctrinal purity. And Jesus demands peace and unity. You should expect your pastors to protect our doctrinal purity. And you should expect our pastors to protect our peace and unity. Let's call it the PUP principle. Peace, unity, purity. I didn't make it up. I think the Presbyterians use it in their ordination services. It's good, isn't it? The PUP principle. Peace, unity, purity. But here's the thing. It's not just the pastor's job. Together, family, we seek to please our Father. And there will be times where you charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Maybe in a point group. Maybe in the youth group. Maybe in a casual conversation with a brother or sister. In those times, we must remember the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Which brings us to our second point. You are a theologian. Doctrinal purity is important for every Christian, not just nerdy Christians. Not just Christian leaders, not just pastors. Doctrinal purity is important for every Christian because every Christian is a theologian. The word theology, it comes from two Greek words, theos and logos. So, theologi, theology, comes from two words, theos, logos. Theos is God, Greek word for God. Logos is the Greek word for word. Everybody has a word about God, even the atheist. Their word about God is, there is no God. Just wrong theology. Everybody is a theologian. And so I'm going to do something with us. This is out loud together. I'm going to get you to say a sentence. My name is... Now, you don't say Steve Kovitz. I'm the only one who gets to say that. You say your first name, your last name. And I am a theologian. Look, we've even made it easy. It's on the screen there. All right? We're going to do this together after three. Not on three, after three. Okay. One, two, three. My name is Steve Kovitz, and I am a theologian. All right. My chief job as your pastor is to equip us to be theologians, madly in love with God, deeply informed of God through the Bible. Madly in love with God, deeply informed of God through the Bible. We get our theology, we get our doctrine from the Bible. That's why we call Jesus our senior pastor. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus is called the chief shepherd. Shepherd's just another name for pastor. Jesus is our chief pastor, and he leads us through his word. So it's as plain as the Polish nose on the end of my face. Doctrine divides, love unites is a dangerous slogan. It's simplistic to say the least, but it's often dangerous. Jesus builds, Jesus grows, Jesus guards his church through doctrine. Which helps us see that Jesus' doctrine does divide. Most of us are comfortable with that division when it comes to Christian Muslim. Christian atheists, we're okay. Now, I know some of us don't like the word divide, though, do we? Because after all, the word divide, it's divisive. Let me push in a little, though. Sometimes I get the fact. So let me empathize first. Sometimes Christians do use doctrine like a sledgehammer. So I get the word we want to be, I get it that we want to be careful. Those people, they're bullies and they're unhelpful. It's unchristian. Having said that, though, while it is unchristian, bully Christianity is absolutely 100%, we must not forget that Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, verse 34, that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6, verse 17. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we're told that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. God's word necessarily divides. From the very first churches, false teachers existed within the church. Dividing right from almost right is not just a leader's job. You are a theologian. Make sure you get your theology from the Bible. So, how do we maintain peace, unity, and purity? Here's where we come to our third point, theological triage. Now, triage, the medicos could define it better than I do because it comes out of their world, but it involves determining the resources required to fix something and prioritizing those resources based on a system. So, for instance, if we both turn up to the ED, the emergency department, and you've got your tibia protruding through your legs and the ED only has so many resources, my two stitches in my finger probably is not going to be prioritized, yeah? That's triage. In 2005, Al Mohler wrote an article called A Call for Theological Triage and Christian Maturity. Mohler helpfully points out that just as the emergency department prioritize particular injuries and illnesses, so too Christians and churches should prioritize doctrine in the church. At Welcome Lunch, I usually talk about the closed hand, open hand approach we use at the point. There are some doctrines we must hold with a closed hand in order to be a Christian church. There's some other doctrines and some other traditions that we can hold with a bit more of an open hand. For instance, Lord's Supper. In Luke 22, Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper. Well, he celebrated the Passover as the Last Supper with his disciples. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. So there's a closed hand. Christians should celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, do this. I'm not sure the Bible says how often or how. And so we come together with an open hand when it comes to how and how often on the Lord's Supper. It's important to know that Jesus practiced theological triage. Remember when the lawyer asked him, what's the most important command? He had an answer. That's staggering, isn't it? All scriptures God breathed, but yet Jesus could say there is a most important doctrine. Love God. And there's a second one right behind it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Theological triage. And then there's the closed-handed language of Galatians. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Let that person be damned of God. God damn him or her. That is very close-handed teaching. Galatians. Chapter 1. Now, same author, well, God is always the author of the Bible, but Paul in Romans chapter 14, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. When it comes to doctrine, the Bible says, well, there can be opinions. And so how do we decide which opinions to divide over? Obviously, there's the easy doctrines and easy behaviours to decide on. I mean, 1 Corinthians 15. If we get rid of the bodily, physical resurrection of Jesus, we get rid of our whole faith. And so we will divide over the doctrine of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, there are certain behaviours that cannot belong in the kingdom of God. And so we'll call out those behaviors. But what about doctrines Christians disagree over? How do we decide on those differences? Should we divide? Should we not? The church council, the staff team, read a book months ago, maybe even a couple of years ago. I don't remember. It's by Gavin Ortland, Finding the Right Hills to Die On. I recommend it. It's a short book. It's a helpful book. And here's how Gavin ranks doctrines. First of all, he says there's first-rank doctrines that are essential to the gospel itself. The resurrection. The scriptures is the authoritative, inerrant word of God. The Trinity. And then there's second-rank doctrines that are urgent for the health and practice of the church, such that they frequently cause Christians to separate at the level of local church, denomination, and or ministry. And so your charismatic church, non-charismatic church. Brothers and sisters, but we've divided over teaching on the Holy Spirit. Third-rank doctrines are important to Christian theology, but not enough to justify separation or division amongst Christians. Be interesting to do a survey on the end times amongst us. I could almost guarantee there'll be pre-millennials, post-millennials, amillennials, and most of you will say, I'm a pan-millennial. It's all going to pan out in the end. All right. And then there's fourth-rank doctrines that are unimportant. They're doctrines, so they're important as doctrines, but unimportant to our gospel witness and ministry collaboration. If this is the first time you've ever heard about this, it's a lot to take in. I get it. You might want to read Gavin Ortland's book, Finding the Right Hills to Die On. You might want to Google Al Mohler's article on theological triage and Christian maturity. But also, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to put triage in action. We're going to look at first-rank doctrines next week and the week after. The gospel and the Bible. Doctrines you have to believe in order to be Christian. Then we're going to look at a couple of doctrines where brothers and sisters disagree over and find it hard to do ministry together within. Men and women in ministry and the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to look at a doctrine, baptism. Now, some churches do divide over that one. You've got Baptist churches that have said, no, we could not minister, we cannot do church together with infant Baptists. In the FIEC, we don't divide over that one in our denomination. And at our church, on that fifth week, you're going to hear from both Phil and I. Phil has different convictions to I do, and we pass it together in a church together. As for fourth-rank doctrines, there isn't a series on that because they're fourth-rank doctrines. You might find it really fascinating to talk about how many angels are there. I'm not going to join you in that fascination. There are angels. It is a doctrine, but I'm not going to join you in how many are there. Brothers and sisters, this is an important series. Church history is littered with bully pastors and arrogant churches that divide over doctrines that should not be divided over. And that is an ugly look when Jesus said, "The world will know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another." At the same time, church history is littered with churches that have been infiltrated by false doctrine that has not been called out and stamped out. Doctrine divides, love unites is a stupid slogan. It makes enemies out of what is supposed to be friends. Doctrine and love are friends. A God-honoring, Jesus-magnifying, Holy Spirit-powered church will contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints and be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good and gracious. You are that good Father who speaks clearly truth, not just about what we need to know, but how we're to behave. And so, Father, forgive us when we rebel against you. And Father, also forgive us when we are arrogant and unloving in the way that we hold your truth. We want to keep being shaped into a church that lives as Jesus Christ walked amongst us. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.